Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got some news for us today.
I do, and most of it's faintly alarming. So, a deadly virus, described in the media as a zombie virus, may spread to humans in the near future, experts warn. The virus, called chronic wasting disease, or CWD, has been seen in 24 states and results in a constellation of symptoms including, quote, drooling, stumbling, lack of fear of people, aggression, and death. CWD was first seen in the 1960s and is caused by a prion rather than a virus or other pathogen similar to mad cow disease. Although it has been known that the disease could pose a risk to primates since 1997, experts from the University of Minnesota raised the alarm again at the Minnesota State Capitol last week. Quote, it is probable that human cases of chronic wasting disease associated with consumption of contaminated meat will be documented in the years ahead, one expert said. At the same time, the Trump administration has given a significant boost to artificial intelligence research in this country, especially in the realm of defense. Although the Trump administration could not promise new money to research programs without the aid of Congress, they have directed agencies to prioritize artificial intelligence research and allocate funds accordingly. This move comes at a time when China has been ramping up its own AI research for many years. Reportedly, the U.S. would have to spend tens of billions of dollars per year to catch up. At present, the AI budget is only a relatively insignificant $1.1 billion. And on the topic of artificial intelligence and defense, AI is now being used to produce fake news, Bloomberg reports. Researchers at OpenAI have trained a sophisticated AI to analyze patterns in top-sharing stories and produce new articles from whole cloth, with surprisingly convincing results. Stories produced included a piece about the discovery of a herd of unicorns in the Andes and a piece about a tax scandal involving John McCain. Having read these articles, I'd say anyone who's actually reading will notice that these stories are basically gibberish, but unfortunately, anyone who just reads the headline or skims the article without really paying attention might not notice that the whole thing is procedurally generated nonsense. Fortunately, readers on the internet always read the whole article thoroughly and with a critical eye towards potential falsehoods before sharing on social media, so it's probably not an issue. Finally, a study released Tuesday detailed some of the impacts of climate change by the year 2080. According to lead author Matt Fitzpatrick from the University of Maryland, New York could feel like Arkansas by then, and many cities could experience climates with no modern equivalent in North America. Climates are expected to shift very approximately about 600 miles to the south. But that's more than 60 years from now, so back to you, Chauncey.
All right. So, yeah, climate change. It's before I came here, I was talking to my wife. She was telling me that there was a study on why people don't believe facts when they're set in front of them. And, you know, one of them obviously was that people don't believe the source.
Sure.
You know, that's an obvious one. But another one was sort of like if you have a like a relationship and your relationship is a jerkhead or cheating on you and people choose to deny what's in front of them because it makes them need to focus on themselves might be a part of it because, you know, climate change, I think, is scary for people because it would involve focusing so much on every aspect of what you're doing from driving to eating to,
sure,
to all of these things and stuff,
yeah,
like that. So it's a little unnerving that, we seem very willing to disbelieve, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think facts don't convince people because a lot of the time facts just aren't very convincing. Well, I think people are mostly convinced by, you know, emotion and stories and things that really have nothing to do with facts at all.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that that's very scary, and a case in point would be your story from before that with AI-generated fake news, you know. That is absolutely wild. It's so wild that we are so impressionable.
We really are.
You know, not to bring it back to my wife again, but I tease my wife about how she's on the brink of like being absorbed into a cult. You know, because she's so impressionable, and she always wants to believe the good and stuff. So if somebody
it could happen at any time. It could.
I'm going to come home, and she's going to be gone, and she's going to be part of some cult, and then I'm going to have to rescue her. And, you know, it's going to get weird. It's going to be
deprogramming can cost many thousands of dollars. So.
Yeah, I'm not spending that. You know, that's pretty much
you'll just lock her at home in her robes with her incense.
Right, but how do you convince the world to research something or at least have a better understanding of something before they share it or talk about it or even share it or even get them to share it in a way that's asking, hey, what do you think, to take some input from other people?
Do you get people to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, powerful mind control drugs in the water supply?
Well, I get that you're a hateful cynic. You know, I appreciate that. I love that about you. But, you know, this is not going to fix the world.
No.
You know, hateful cynicism is probably not going to help. You know, what one person can do, another can do. You know, we are all capable of doing these things. A lot of people just do these things out of fear. They're scared. They don't want to change. They don't want to dig deeper. They don't want to look further.
You know? An actual answer then to that question is more education and a better economy.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably very right on a better economy.
Wages haven't increased since the 1980s, basically. But the cost of everything else has gone way up, including especially housing and healthcare. So, you know, even though the economy is good in terms of unemployment being bad, since the Great Recession, basically most people have been fairly poor.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that is going to make it hard for people to care much about anything other than their immediate survival.
Yeah, that's true. That's very much true. And then, you know, we can't go past the fact that Trump apparently is investing in AI. This is sort of...
People are praising this as a good move, actually.
It is a good move, but it's...
I would agree with.
Motivated militarily, I'm sure. Are a lot of our technological mm-hmm. advancements. And so I'm all for this because personally I find AI really kind of scary.
Sure.
And I find it sort of contrary to the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that everybody else is going to be doing it, so we probably better know as well.
Right. So I found this story on the Washington Post editorial board, actually, which is, I probably don't need to say, normally very, very critical of Trump. Mm-hmm. But they were hailing it as a positive move, and they said, what do they say? Researchers see machine learning as the electricity of the 21st century with the potential to transform life across all sectors.
Yeah.
So I think that's true.
I do, too. And then, of course, we can't pass up too quickly the zombie virus, chronic wasting disease. It sounds like mad cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's some research to believe that mad cow really sort of comes from cannibalism.
Really?
Yeah. That
I wasn't aware of that.
I might be totally wrong on this, but then mad cow...
I know many prion diseases do, yes.
Right. Was given to from feeding cows to other cows.
Oh.
And that we have the laughing disease is very similar that cannibalistic tribes who eat the brain and spinal cord, we're getting this. All right. So we're coming up on break here. Our guest coming up next is Ryan Griffiths. He's a TV presenter and paranormal investigator and psychic medium, known for his work as a psychic medium across the UK and his show The Hauntings and Haunting Events UK. And he is going to come in and he is going to tell us about the haunted United Kingdom.
All right.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
All right. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And our guest, Ryan Griffiths, he's a TV presenter and paranormal investigator and psychic medium. Ryan, do we have you there with us?
Indeed you do, my friend. Indeed you do.
Man, you got a long resume.
I was adding to it, believe it or not, just about half an hour ago. And I thought, wow, this is getting a little bit long now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just shows that you've been busy. Andrea's our booking person for the listening audience, and she was saying that you got a busy schedule, and so we really appreciate you being on here with us.
No, I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure.
So where are you at right now? What are you doing right now?
I am sat just in my office, trying to remain a little bit quiet, as it's 2 a.m. here in the UK, so it is very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect time to talk about hauntings, then.
It is the perfect time.
Perfect. I'm almost tempted to get the old K2 out and get down into the basement.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I find incredibly interesting about, you know, England and Great Britain in general is that here in the United States, Karen and I were talking about this last week, that there's really no building older than 400 years at best. Here in the United States, you know, there might be a few, artifact
the
areas
states
and
from
stuff
the
like
1930s.
That.
Ooh.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's kind of what it is, you know.
but there, you're literally dealing with some extremely old buildings, you know, and they all have a story to tell, I'm sure.
Where I live now at the moment in Nottinghamshire is it's littered. I mean, it's a fantastic place to live because there's so many historical places that you can go in either just during the day or to investigate on the evening.
So, you know, I guess we got to kind of start out with probably old news for you, but for us here in the States, you know, it's going to be new and exciting. And that is, you know, what are the probably most famously haunted places in the UK?
There is so many. The list is absolutely huge, as you can imagine. However, ones that I believe your listeners may well recognize is places such as 30 East Drive, the Black Monk House, which famously Nick Groff took his show Paranormal Lockdown UK there. And it is an absolute, I mean, it's notoriously Europe's most violent poltergeist case that happened back in the 60s, I believe. So fairly recent when you look at historical facts, you know, you're speaking about 400-year-old buildings. That's a council house that was built in the 50s, so it's not terribly old. But, yeah, again, most famous location in the UK. And then there's the Enfield Poltergeist, which is a similar case. For me, I would say the most popular in the UK at the moment has to be the village in Mansfield, which is actually about 10 minutes from where I live. And I go there quite a lot, and it's just the bookings that we get for that place is unbelievable. It's just everyone wants to be there, television, radio, public, fantastic.
So this is part of your business, Haunted Events UK?
It's part of Haunted Events UK, but what it is it's just one of the locations that we obviously have on the evening. And we take the public, but other teams can bring their own events there, if that makes sense as well.
Yeah, I understand. It's not yours, but it's one of the places that you take your tours, yes, and your groups to.
Yeah, I
get that. So, you know, has anything ever happened to one of your tour groups where they've been a little freaked out?
Oh, very much so. actually, quite recently, I say recently, just coming towards the end of last year, and ironically at Halloween, we recently did, at the village, we did a Halloween live for Facebook, and we had hundreds of viewers watching live, and we had to cut it short on about three different occasions because the poltergeist activity was ridiculous. They had, like, the fire exit doors. Now, the whole place is surrounded by CCTV on the outside. Which we have access to during the night, so we can see who's moving about, if anyone, and etc. And on this particular night, we were down just doing the usual investigation, calling out, is anyone there? You know, the standard things you could imagine that we would say. And all the fire exit doors simultaneously started rattling and banging so loudly that our viewers at home were getting frightened for our safety. Nothing happened to us as such, it was still quite a frightening experience, not only for us being the investigators, but for our viewers as well.
Yeah, well, that's definitely some good viewing, in my opinion, you know?
Cause, yeah.
Because I watched some of those shows, like, you know, I don't know, what is it, Ghost Hunters here in the States?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like season after season of not really anything going on, and I'm just all, you know.
Sure.
I need something a little more terrifying. So what is, you know, you're using the word poltergeist a lot. What is a poltergeist specifically? Is that like a ghost that's able to interact with the real world, or what is that?
I think the layman term to put it across would be to just to say that, you know, it's a physically active energy. It's a physically active spirit, if you like, where... Quite in most common cases, things will get moved, things will get thrown, people can get touched or pushed over and things like that. So if you like, it's an interactive ghost, if you like. You know, that'd be the easiest way to understand it. The more technical side of it is it's a build-up of energy that quite commonly reacts when teenagers are going through puberty and things like that, you know, because their heightened state of energy inside them is raised to a level that it aids that energy that's in place, if I'm making any sense.
No, I see.
It's a very complicated...
The stress and the emotions of being a teenager sort of act as an antenna.
So if you think of it, like when you get depressed or when you feel at a low point, everything else around about you seems very negative, doesn't it? You know, it's almost like attracts like. So when their hormones are all over the place, when their moods are all over the place, when they feel very anxious, it seems to encourage activity.
I see. Yeah.
Some scientists will say that it's actually the teenager using some sort of telepathy, subconscious telepathy, to make the things move and things, if that makes sense as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, and you know that really makes sense, you know, because obviously there's not a huge amount of understanding of the afterlife, but when it comes to ghosts and poltergeists and stuff, you know, it tends to be associated with some sort of traumatic event that keeps them held here.
Yes.
Those feelings would amplify that.
Well, exactly. I couldn't agree more. And I always say to people, don't always jump to the paranormal and say, oh, it's paranormal activity when something happens. Always question absolutely everything. Yes, I'm a medium. Yes, I give readings. I do all these different things. Excuse me. However, I would always say never stop asking questions.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always look for the root cause. Is there a window open when activity happens? Is there people moving about in another room? Is there some sort of electrical device that's malfunctioning? Check these things out and then rule them out. And then you've got a better chance of saying, well, yes, I have activity happening here.
So I assume that is an active part of any investigation you go on.
Yes,
you kind of go
absolutely.
Through and check all that stuff first.
Yes, I mean, it's not what you think. I mean, what we see on the TV, naturally, as you can imagine, is the majority of it is semi-scripted. So they will have certain targets to hit, if that makes sense. So, you know, what we do is very different to that. We sit back, we look at what's going on, we try to analyze it as best we can. And if we can, we always say to our viewers on Facebook or whatever, we always say, you know, we leave it up to you to decide whether it's paranormal or not.
Right. Mm. Right. So basically when you guys do one of these things, you guys have all of your cameras are basically on Facebook and on live, and so all of your followers are able to watch any investigation you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, if we're doing a TV project, naturally, as you can imagine, there's certain commissions and contracts and things like that you've got to take into account. So they won't be able to see that side of it. But what we take onto Facebook, we try to bring the viewer every step of the way. So they decide what equipment we use. They decide what approach we use. They decide where we go and how we do it. And we try to get them involved as much as possible.
That is a really cool, fun way to get that done. I like it. I'm going to have to check this out. I'm pretty excited about this.
Yes, by all means.
You know,
if you live in the UK, you'll have to tag along sometime.
I will. I've been there twice in fourth grade and eighth grade. I don't see it in my financial budget in the near future, but I hope so.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Yeah. All right. So you're listening to Ryan Griffiths here on Radio Wasteland. We're going to break. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Come on back.
Let me be the man. Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Vintage Public House in downtown Reading invites you in to experience their newly remodeled restaurant, now featuring your favorite classic cocktails, Sunday brunch, and more. A gooey, delicious addition on the menu for the month of February. Five featured grilled cheese sandwiches, from jalapeno candied bacon to a mac and cheese grilled cheese. Vintage Public House now offers Sunday brunch with tasty brunch offerings, patio dining, mimosas, Bloody Marys, and more. Vintage Public House. For more information, follow on Facebook or check out their website, VintageReading.com, located at the corner of Market and Sacramento across from the Cascade Theater.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ryan Griffiths. We're talking about Haunted UK. You know, Ryan, how much does it seems like anytime I'm talking to a paranormal investigator, there's always somebody in their group who is the medium. You know, are you the one in your group who is the medium, or do you feel, or are all of you doing this?
Technically, yes, I'm the only one who is a medium. But I actually, when I go on a paranormal investigation, I actually don't use that as much as you would think. I prefer, much prefer to be a paranormal investigator and to see what we can experience as a group rather than jumping on everything and saying, oh, this is spirit, I've got this spirit, I'm picking up on this, or I'm experiencing, you know.
Yeah.
I much prefer the paranormal side, investigator side, sorry. on an investigation rather than the mediumship, believe it or not.
I do, because it's maybe a little more visceral, you know, when you're...
It certainly makes for more interesting video.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, being a medium, you know, maybe it takes some level of concentration, some level of stillness. And really, when you're an investigator, it takes a sort of involvement in being out there moving around and all that, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, there's certain times that, as much as I would prefer to be a paranormal investigator than the medium, there's sometimes I just can't avoid being the medium, because certain things will happen or certain things will come through that, as much as I try to keep them to myself so that everyone else can experience it, I have to voice it and I have to say what I'm picking up on or experiencing, etc.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of a weird question, but I'm always curious about this with mediums, because, the world of the paranormal and the world of ghosts and the afterlife, I always wonder, like, about the culture of that world, you know? So, like, we're dealing with spirits, and a medium will tap into a spirit, but are spirits tapping into one another, or are they each on their own level? You know, is there some sort of level of culture going on to the afterlife? You know, I mean, I'm sure we're not going as far as Beetlejuice, but do you get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I assume you mean, like, are they interacting with each other as well as they're interacting with us, the mediums or the individuals? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, so one idea might be that it's a bunch of ideas and energies just sort of haphazardly floating around that we're tapping into, but the other might be that there's some sort of connective tissue world out there.
Well, the religion that I practice and I follow is spiritualism, and what we believe is, if you like, let's just, to make it easier, call it heaven, but what we refer to is a place called Summerland. Now, obviously, it's not somewhere that's got roasting hot sun and nice beaches, but it's basically, in essence, if you look at our daily lives as individuals now, we can go to the shops, we can go to work and go to schools and different things. It's very similar. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and own belief system. Of course they are. And my belief system is that it's very similar to what we have now, only a higher state of consciousness. So there's a higher level of understanding, if that makes sense. So very much they can talk to one another. My guides as a medium connect with the spirit who wants to speak to the person that's here in the living. So, of course, they're interacting with each other. So, yes, I absolutely believe that it's very much similar to what we're experiencing here.
All right. So when you guys are going out and you're doing an investigation, you know, what kind of, you know, Kara and I were talking about this earlier, you know, what type of equipment are you guys taking with you? Is this pretty scientific on your level? Is it mostly a visceral experience with the audience?
It's a bit of all of that, actually. But predominantly, we like to go for the old school techniques and the old school ways of doing things, because, and using your own senses. Someone once asked me recently and said, "You know, Ryan, what would you say is the best piece of paranormal equipment?" And I said, "Yourself." Because I always say it's that people pay attention to how you feel, the different ailments that your body has before you go into a location, and then see if anything changes throughout, and notice when it changes. Is there activity happening at that point that you suddenly got a headache, or you suddenly got a pain in your lower back, or et cetera, you know? But other equipment that we use is like K2 meters that I sort of briefly touched on at the start there. SB7 spirit boxes, which sort of scan the FM and AM radio frequencies at different speeds, and it's said that spirit can manipulate that to throw out random words that correspond with questions that have been asked. SLS cameras, and don't even ask me what that is. I'm sure it says structured light. I forget what it is now. it's like the Xbox stick man, isn't it?
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you, but you cut me.
I can't think for the life of me what it is now. It's structured light. Oh, that's embarrassing, that is. But there you go. We use the SLS.
Yeah.
And we use the portal and things like that, which is, again, very similar to the SB7, except it cuts out the white noise and makes things a lot more clearer. Instead of being random words, you can hear sentences and sometimes different sounds and noises that are allegedly, and I'll say that word because it's only fair, allegedly coming from spirit.
Yeah, that makes sense, because we were talking about how we wanted to do this. You know, we wanted to put right. ourselves out there and do it. You know, we have a paranormal show. We tend to come at it a little bit more as skepticism, but, you know, there are two that it's really kind of hard to be skeptical about, and one is UFOs and one is ghosts, and both for the same reason that there are so much...
Everyone knows someone who's seen one or the other.
Yeah, everyone knows somebody who is credible that saw somebody something and told them a story, you know. And even I have a few stories in my life that I really can't make sense of. I don't know where to put them, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I assume that you find – what about in your life? Do you have people that are basically when you tell them that you're a medium ghost hunter, do they tell you you're nuts?
Oh, I get it all the time, my friends. I get it all the time. It's one of them things that you just sort of you just live with it. It's like when you're a politician and you know people sort of throw the rotten tomatoes at you every now and again. You just deal with it, and as my old dad would say, you know, you just got to roll with the punches and just believe it. You know, stand proud in what you believe in. You know, and just keep moving forward.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting in our talking here, you were basically saying that, you know, a couple of these poltergeists were in newer structures. It makes me wonder if there's anything to some idea of degradation over time. You know, like the longer a spirit is there, do they start to settle in? Do they start to become comfortable and less active?
Well, I believe, speaking of less active, I would say that, I kind of agree with what you're saying, because it's like if you're here again, I refer to us being here in the physical and how similar it is. If you're an individual here and you're alive, you have a certain character and a certain belief system and a certain attitude, if you like. So when you pass over, you'll be no different, in my opinion, but just a little bit more worldly wise, because you'll understand how it all works, obviously. So if here in the physical, someone started saying to you, okay, I want you to do 5 cartwheels down that street every 5 minutes for the next week, well, I guarantee you won't even get the hour before you get annoyed at doing it.
Oh, yeah. So I'd break my neck by the third one.
Yeah, mate, I wouldn't even get the first one down. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, but I get what you're saying. You know, you start to become accustomed, you start to...
Yeah, so I don't see... In my opinion, yes, there's different energies out there that people would deem as evil and such like and things, but they're individuals, and they're not performing monkeys, as I always say to the public. You know, so they will, just like me and you, say, right, I've had enough now, I'm going to have a week off, and then suddenly people go there and they say, well, this is supposed to be a most haunted location. But there's nothing happening. It's absolutely dead, forgive the pun, right. You know. And then suddenly a new group, or the same group even, goes the following week, and it's the most active place on the planet. Right. It's just, people need a rest. Spirits need a rest.
Well, I am glad that you brought up the topic of evil, because I am a horror movie fanatic, and that's what I want to ask you about when we come back from our break that we're coming up on here. I want to ask you about, you know, good and evil, how that applies, and if there's anything truly scary out there that people should be scared of. You're listening to Ryan Griffiths here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back for all of that.
Thank you. Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ryan Griffiths. We are talking about the paranormal and hauntings in general, especially in the United Kingdom. But here, I really want to know, you know, ghosts have been so associated with just fear and danger and stuff over the years. You know, is there anything truly... I know most people would basically say, you know, ghosts aren't inherently evil or good. But is there anything evil out there?
Well, I would absolutely, I would say there is, but what I would say is, as well as a lot of it has been glamorized through Hollywood and the different shows on TV and different things like that, so a lot of it is already subconsciously in your mind before you enter a location. So if you experience something, no disrespect to anybody listening or any of our viewers over here in the UK or anything like that, but the majority of folk will immediately say it's evil before understanding what's actually taking place and what's actually happening. But in light of what I was saying just before the break about being the same here in the physical and then being the same when we pass over, but just a little bit more worldly wise, well, those who do bad here on earth in the physical, they're going to be the same when they go over there too. So they might be a bit more mischievous or a bit more hurtful, and a bit more malevolent, you know, when they pass over. So, yeah, I do believe that people do need to take care when investigating. I don't think it is something, as much as I like to have fun, but I've been doing it nearly 20 years now.
Right.
So I'll probably get shot down in flames by many of my co-workers and things by saying that, you know, I don't fear anything because I have such a belief system and such a inner belief in my own protection, my own power, that I keep that strong mindset of nothing can hurt me, if that makes sense.
Right. You know, so, one thing that I'm always curious about is, like, you know, when I ask about the culture or the world beyond, you know, are there spirits that were never once alive?
Yes, I believe there is. Yes, like old energies, ancient energies that come from old times, or like you say, have never been alive, so to speak. We're all made up of energy, atoms, and what have you. So that energy has to come from somewhere. And there'll be certain energy that hasn't took human form, if you like. So, yeah, I think that answers your question, I think.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm just really trying to understand, you know, like, you know, if there's some sort of tie-in between religion and ghosts and, you know, are people basically the attitude of good and evil, and how does this really apply, or is this solely a natural event where good and evil is not really a factor other than people's personalities?
I think personally it does come a lot down to personalities and the character of the individual. Hmm. I believe that religion plays a big part in the fear-mongering and different things like that. So immediately, like, take Ouija boards, for example. As soon as you mention the word, people automatically say it's evil. But it's, again, I put my head above the parapet, but I do that with pride by saying it absolutely isn't. It's just one of those things that's been glamorized in Hollywood and need to appear that way. But in actual fact, it's what's the old name for it was a talking board, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, all it was for communication with spirit. So taking that thought, that would mean that mediums are evil and things like that, you know, as well, because they do the same job, if you like. They still communicate with spirit.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You're a person, Ouija board.
Yeah. Yes, well,
so to speak.
Yeah.
So to speak, yes. But, you know, in essence, that is what we do. We communicate with spirit. So that means that you can't use your SB7s anymore because they're evil. And I'm not saying this in any way whatsoever to ridicule anyone. I'm just merely making my own point. That's all it is. And if you look at Ouija boards and what they actually do, and then look at SB7s, then look at K2s, and then look at all the different equipment that we use for communicating with spirit, then they must be evil too.
Right, yeah, because they're all basically conduits.
Yes, I believe that it's all in the mindset, i.e. the character or what have you of the individual that's using them. And if you set your intention correctly, because although I do believe that there is evil as in the spirit of a spirit that's done wrong in life or what have you, then, you know, it's all in the mindset. If you set your intention that you do not want to connect with those types of spirit, and set your, some people like protection, don't they? They say prayers and things before investigations or using Ouija boards. And that's brilliant. Whatever helps you stay in that mindset.
I see.
And set the correct intention.
So, the question here that Kara has proposed is, mm-hmm. has anybody that you know of ever been seriously injured by a ghost?
I guess it sounds like probably not, but I guess what's the worst case scenario, you know, for a paranormal investigation going seriously wrong?
The investigation went seriously wrong at a place called Jedburgh Castle Jail, which is on the border of Scotland, between Scotland and England. And it actually happened to myself.
All right.
I mean, I've seen members of the public on public investigations getting scratched, and maybe a marble or something is hit them, or, you know, what have you, or they've been pushed over. But on this particular occasion, it was a public event. There was no significance in the time of year. It wasn't Halloween. I can't even remember when it was. I'm sure it was around about April time, if I can remember right. Nothing was happening. It was like I said earlier about Spirit wanting a break. There was nothing going on. So I thought, the public are looking a little bit restless. And maybe I should tap a little bit into a mediumship and see what happens, you know. So I took a chair and I went up into apparently famous haunted cell in the men's cell block. And I sat down and the other members of the group got a Ouija board and put it on the floor and they were using it just in front of where I was sitting. There was no light in the room whatsoever apart from the phone torchlight that they were using on the board. And there was an infrared camera looking at myself. And all I was doing was sitting in the chair and just trying to link in with spirit and just see what I could pick up on. But purely by accident, I'd gone into a deep trance state, which is very, very rare for me, not something that I actually ever do. And I went into this deep trance state. It's all recorded and it's on YouTube. excuse me. And my voice changed. My mannerisms changed. Even on camera, you could see my whole facial features seem to look more withdrawn than they usually are because I carry quite a bit of weight. And the guys that were recording the whole experience, they could hear this what sounded like a shuffling, scratching noise. And this went on for a few minutes, and someone said, look at his feet. And just on the floor, you could see, just by the chair, you could see my feet. My legs were absolutely still, but my feet were twisting all the way around so that they were sort of bending back on each other, if that makes sense. And then I began to sort of do this strange sort of mumbling. Now, the whole time that this was going on, they were trying to get communication on the board, obviously. And they had asked the question, is Spirit with Ryan? And it shot to yes. Now, no one that was on that board had any connection with me whatsoever. It was all members of the public. My team at that point never, ever got involved in any of the public stuff. That way, they couldn't be accused of interfering. And it was shot to yes when they asked, is Spirit with Ryan? And then the girl who I'd asked to keep an eye on me, you know, just in case, obviously, I'd gone into a deep trance state or anything like that, she's sort of asking me if I'm okay, but getting no response. And then she said, Spirit, if you were with Ryan, what is your name? And I apparently said, and looking back on it, I can see myself saying in an old English accent, you can hear my accent now, I'm by no means English. But in an old English accent, I said the name Warren.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, well, it gets a little bit more. I'll try and be brief, obviously. So they said, can you spell your name? And they were, like, asking on the board to spell the name. At the same time as it went to each letter to spell the name Warren, I was repeating those letters in an old English accent to the girl sitting next to me and also to the camera. At no point you can see with the cameras looking at me, you can see I'm not, my eyes are not open. I've got no devices near me where I'm listening or anything like that. Then all of a sudden I became violent. I got up and my friend who was one of my teammates at the time, he's 6'4". I'm only 5'8". He's 6'4" and a ex-amateur boxer.
Ryan, yep. I got to cut you off. Unfortunately, we only have a minute left of the show, and I want to make sure that you tell our audience where they can find out a little bit more about you before we're cut off by the man.
Yeah, no worries, no worries.
Yeah, so
you can find me at The Hauntings TV on Facebook, so just stick onto the Facebook search bar, The Hauntings TV, you'll find me there, or at Official Ryan Griffiths on Facebook and on Twitter. It's at Ryan Griffiths TV, Instagram, Ryan Griffiths TV.
Sounds great. Man, you have been a great guest. I have Kara and I have just sat here sort of staring at each other, really enjoying this. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll follow up with you online afterwards. Thank you very much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.